Yivach, everybody. It's always a schuss to be together, to learn Torah, to grow. Matzi Shabbos Kodesh. Hope everyone had a beautiful Shabbos. No more special way to take Shabbos into the week. To be Mekadesh our week as well, and specifically, as we enter together into Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Mamish, these moments, we just entered into Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This incredible month. As we'll talk about, this month of Ischadshas. Rosh Chodesh, we know, was the very... Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the very first Rosh Chodesh. That's why today we had Parshas HaChodesh in Shul. Rosh Chodesh is all about Ischadshas. So, Mirtz Hashem, it's going to be a big month. A big month of Simcha, a big month of Bracha. For everybody, just before we begin, just want to thank Naomi always for helping putting everything together. And Mirtz Hashem, it should be a big schuss for your beautiful Mishpacha. I remember once, years ago, I had the schuss to be in Tzfas for Shabbos Kodesh. It was an incredible Shabbos. And that year, as it will be this year, Lag BaOmer was on a Thursday night. Now, I was zoich to be Lag BaOmer by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Can't even start to explain what that was. I don't know if any of you have been there. And then Shabbos followed that immediately, Shabbos in Tzfas. And Tzfas was packed with people straight after Lag BaOmer. It was really very special. Still remember the Kabbalah Shabbos was literally like 2 hours long, dancing and singing. And a beautiful Suda. And Lel Shabbos after the Suda with a few Talmidim, we were walking around the streets of Tzfas. And as you walked around the streets, it was so beautiful. I'm sure some of you probably can relate to what I'm about to say from even the streets of Yerushalayim, which I've definitely felt the same way, especially Sukkot time. So walking through the streets, you just hear literally from every house and every makom singing. Just beautiful singing. Specifically that Shabbos, a big minog to continue to sing the songs of Lag BaOmer, of Bar Yochai, of Reb Shimon. I still remember how beautiful it was to hear the sounds of Kedusha. So similarly, I saw a story how the Bnei Yisachar, the Heilige Tzaddik, Bnei Yisachar, he used to have a minog, Lel Seder. I don't know at what point in at the night, but to take a walk. To also listen to the sounds of Yiddin, to the sounds of Kedusha. Imagine what that would sound like. Most of us, I'm sure, have never done this. Again, it could be after Shulchan Aruch, you could use a break and maybe walk around the block a little bit. And to hear the beautiful singing coming from every house. The beautiful Lel Seder, we're all looking forward to Mirtz Hashem, 2 weeks from tonight. Bez Hashem is Baruch. And I was just walking by one house. He heard something very strange. They were up to the Dalet Banim, the four sons, Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, Shein Delishol. And when they said the word Echad, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, right? We all know. They sang it in the way that we would say by Shema. You know, like many of us, we daven Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's halach actually to lengthen. I'm not going to get into that right now. And they were saying the Echad in such a manner. Echad Chacham. Echad Rasha. Like, such a way. Strange to me, never heard such a thing, such a minog. So he knocked on the door and he went into the house. And he was told he was told by the Baal Bas that that was the minog of their family. It wasn't something, it was an old minog. Ataka, when he grew up, his father used to say it like this, and his grandfather used to say it like this. So what's pshat? I'm not suggesting that we start changing minhagim, that we have to do this. But what's pshat in echad in such a manner? So you know, the echad of Shema, the echad of Shema is such a oneness with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that we say often many times throughout the day, that echad of Shema is a testament to our, not just emunah b'Hashem, but our emunah in the oneness of Hashem. In everything is Hashem. If you stop and think about the thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews throughout our history that gave up their life of Kiddush Hashem with that word, Echad. Showing that even at this moment, I know this is also Hashem, everything is Hashem. This is only the one, the only one. We all know famously the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva was with that word on his lips that he left this world. The Heilig Rabbi Akiva. So Lel Seder, that's the goal. Lel Seder, the goal is to be so one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We feel Him by our side every moment. He's Echad, there's nothing else. In the best of times, in the more difficult of times, Echad. Echad mi yodeh, at the end, the very end of the Seder. The very, very end of the Seder. Echad mi yodeh, who knows one? One is Hashem. That's like the most simple idea in the world and the deepest idea in the world. And there's nothing else but the Rabbanu Shalom. Echad mi yodeh. So it's the same Echad of Shema Yisrael, Shem Elkein, Shem Echad throughout the whole El Seder. That's the goal. But if we want to achieve that, we can't just walk into Lel Seder. We can't just walk into Pesach. That's why we're together now. We have to do Hachana. We have to prepare. We have to get ready. So let's prepare. The Pasuk tells us in Parshas Bo, Parag Yud Gimel, Pasuk Gimel and Dalet, Vayomer Moshe El Ha'am. Moshe said to the nation, Zechores Hayom Hazeh. Remember this day that we're going to remember again 2 weeks from tonight. Asher Yatzasa miMitzrayim miBeis Avadim, that you were taken out of Mitzrayim from the house of slavery. Ki b'chozek yaro tzi Hashem etzchem mizeh v'lo yachal chametz. With a strong hand, Hashem took us out, and therefore we cannot eat chametz. Not going to get into that right now. What the connection is, but obviously we know we were taken out with matzah. The simple understanding is chametz is the opposite of matzah. To remember that, right? Obviously, there's a lot of depth. Maybe for another time. The very next passage says, "Hayom atem yotzim bechodesh ha'aviv." Today you left in the month of spring, in the time of spring. And it seems to be that there's a significance in the fact that Pesach is not just in Nisan, but Pesach is in the springtime. We all know that Pesach is in the spring, but that it's emphasized in the Pesukim. We don't find that in the same way, in such a strong manner by other Yom Tovim. Obviously, we celebrate the Yom Tovim when they occurred. We celebrate Matan Torah when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. We celebrate Sukkot is a deeper understanding, but that's the return of the Ani HaKavod, which the Sukkah represents. That's how the Vilna Gaon explains. Yom Kippur is when we were forgiven, when we got the Luchos Shniyos. These are dates. It's not just random dates. These are when these incredible occurrences have occurred. But why the emphasis that it has to be in the spring? So Rashi already tells us there, to see the chesed of Hashem, the spring is the nicest of weather. The spring is when it's very comfortable outside. It's not too hot, it's not too cold. Let's be real, this past week we felt the spring a little bit. It was very beautiful when we were outside Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Today it was already cold again. Colder at least. We'll take yesterday's weather a lot more so than today's weather. But it wasn't 80s. You know, I don't know how many years it took a Chlesnish. We're in Miami recently. It wasn't 80s. It was 60s, but 60s, it's beautiful. It's perfect. You don't need a coat, you walk around. Chlesnish, okay, you're not swimming, but you're enjoying the weather. It's not too hot, it's not too cold. And what more perfect weather to be journeying, right? Especially, that you're taking out of the drive and you can go on this journey and walking through the... What more perfect weather? So that's what Rashi tells us based on Mechilta. That's why specifically it was again an extra toiv, an extra chesed me Hashem that Hashem was doing for us. And take us out specifically in the spring. Problem is, that's the only pshat, and that's it. We could have a taino on Hashem. And it's really an explicit Gemara about another angle of Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to take us out berchush gadol, with a lot of wealth. We went out and we were able to take all the wealth of the Mitzrayim. So Gemara in Brachos, Daf Tes Amud Beis, says as follows. Amru lo, they said to him, forget about the wealth. Forget about all the riches. We've been in Mitzrayim all these years. I just want to get out. I'm not concerned with wealth. Mashal, for example, a parable. La'adam shayachavish b'beis asurim, to a person that was trapped in a jail cell. Vayomer lo b'nei adam, atziyin oschol l'machar b'beis asurim. You're going to get out tomorrow. V'nosin l'cham mamon harbi, I'm going to give you a lot of money. Vayomer lo, you know what he says back? B'vakashamikem, please, with all due respect. Hotziyuni hayom, let me go out today. V'ayini m'vakash klum, I don't want anything. I mean, don't do me any favors. Rabbi Shalom, you waited till the spring. I'd rather leave in the middle of the winter just to get out. What's so special? I remember this like yesterday. I had the schus to be there. It was one of the most incredible nights of my life. Just to be there live. You know, Rubashkin. Shalmorcha Rubashkin. So we all know the story. I was in jail for... was supposed to be in jail for 32 years, 33 years, to a crime that, you do the research, should have been in jail for a year, 2 years perhaps. Tremendous amount of anti-Semitism. Again, we're not saying that people shouldn't pay for their mistakes, but they should pay for their mistakes in the way that supposed to pay for their mistakes. So we were davening for him and miraculously, out of nowhere, as Chanukah was ebbing away, on the last day of Chanukah a few years ago, he was pardoned and he was allowed to leave jail. It was incredible. It was the most... I don't recall a time I was part of a more spontaneous simcha, because what happened was he left jail and then he went straight to his father's house in Brooklyn, if I'm not mistaken, and had a whole celebration there. And from there went to 770... Eastern Parkway, Chabad headquarters. He's a Chabadnik, to celebrate. And this wasn't planned. It wasn't like we're going to have a celebration. Nobody knew he was getting out that night. It was out of, he didn't know. In fact, the day before, he was sent a letter that his last appeal was turned down. Literally the day before. I heard this from him. That night. Literally the day before. He thought he was going to be in jail another 25 years. So it was just incredible. Again, just an incredible spontaneous simcha. And you had literally thousands of yidden that gathered together to dance and sing and be besimcha with this yid. I don't want to say for him, with him. With him. It was like just an incredible, incredible night. And I went with my son. I said, we got to be there. How could we not? He's going to go. We got to be there to see this, to be a part of it. And the dancing and singing, it was like something so special. Like, I was able to give him a, I just gave him a big hug and kiss. To be a part of someone that was part of like a geula, right? This is like, we're all yearning for geula. And like he, in a minuscule enough, he had it. He went through it after being bebeit Surim. And he was freed. It was really something very special. And somehow I ended up right where he was when he spoke that night. From very close to where the Rebbe used to daven. Lubavitcher Rebbe Zichus Tzedek Kodesh Baruch Hu. In the base medrash. And he spoke, and I was right, I was, Mamash, I have this all recorded, you can see I was literally 3 feet from him, amongst thousands of Jews. Shalmordechai Rabashkin, he said, he was in the middle of sitting and eating the last Suda of Chanukah, on the eighth day of Chanukah, and Zos Chanukah, and they come into his cell, and they tell him, you're free. Imagine that moment. And they tell him, you know, start packing up all your belongings. He's been there for 8 years. Pack up, he must have had whatever he had there. Pack up all your belongings and you could go. And he couldn't believe hearing this. He's free. He said, don't worry, you could send me whatever you send me. And all that he took was his towels and tefillin, and he ran out. He said, I'm not taking it. I don't need anything. You let me go. I don't need all the wealth in the world. I just want to get out of here. It's amazing what happened, but there was a story. I don't remember exactly. He said it over that night. How at the beginning, I don't know if it was something he took upon himself. He was told. I don't remember exactly, but he started learning Chovos Halvavos Shaar Bitachon to give him the chizik through all that time that he was in jail. And he said to himself, "This is the sefer I'm going to take away with me out of jail." And he left so quickly that day when he was told he could go free. And he, like I said, he didn't take anything with him. He just took his talit tefillin. And later he realized, "Oh, I was supposed my sefer, my chovos Halvavos Shaar Bitachon." That I'm supposed to take with me. He opened up his talis zekel, he found it was inside. He didn't remember, he put it inside. So that he did take with him, like he said he was going to. So he didn't care to have any of his belongings. I'm free of it. So it's so important back to us. It's so important. This is what the Gemara is, it's mamish, the Gemara. Like, I'd rather leave today with nothing than tomorrow with all the wealth in the world. So Hashem, beautiful, it's wonderful. You took us out in the spring, beautiful weather, gorgeous. But like, Hashem, really? I'd rather leave earlier and not be in the spring. What again? What is the significance? And is there another understanding? Because this pshat is hard to understand, this Rashi. Is there another understanding, perhaps, of why it's so significant and so important that the Yontif of Pesach is in Aviv, in the spring? The Ramban says it explicitly. The Ramban tells us, for some reason, and I'll just read you a lashon from Parshas Bo, it's in Perek Yud Gimel. He says, Vosifu a parsha mitzvos rabos. The parsha's many, we know there's so many mitzvos of Zeichel Schis Mitzrayim, right? To remember Mitzrayim. Throughout the, obviously on Pesach itself, Matzah and Mor and Dalakosus and Sipri Schis Mitzrayim, so many mitzvos in Pesach, but all year long. Many of the mitzvos we do. Kiddush Friday night, Zeichel Schis Mitzrayim. Put on tefillin, Zeichel Schis Mitzrayim. Shema, we have Zeichel Schis Mitzrayim, right? Why time and time again, Zeichel Schis Mitzrayim? But he tells us, there's so many mitzvahs, Zeichel Schis Mitzrayim, but listen to the Lashon of the Ramban. Sheyizichru hayom, to remember the day we left Mitzrayim, v'hachodesh shehaya aviv, and the month that was in the spring. Again, the Ramban's telling us, there's something about the spring that's so important to this yontif, to this month. And thereby to our life, because we're supposed to remember this all the time, through all the mitzvahs. We're supposed to remember the spring. Not the summer, not the winter, not the fall, the spring. Something about the spring. And here's another. In Parshas Re'eh, the Pasuk tells us, listen to this Lashon, Shomor es chodesh ha'aviv, v'asisa pesach l'shem l'kecha. Watch over this month of the spring, which is this month of Nisan, and make a Pesach, ki b'chodesh ha'aviv, Hotziach Hashem Alkecha Mitzrayim Laila. So Hashem took you out at night in that spring month. Again, emphasizing spring, spring. Now, by the way, it's interesting to take you out at night. Also, why is that emphasized? Hashem took us out during the day, not the night. So Rashi says, but we already were given permission at night. Why we emphasize what's the night? We didn't go out at night. Chevra, I want to share an idea tonight about why such a strong emphasis on the springtime, on Aviv, this Yontiv, which is the foundation of what it is to be a Yid. We have beautiful Yom Tovim throughout the year, and they're all important, they're all crucial in our existence and what we build. But the Yontiv that is the Yontiv that, where we became Klal Yisrael, the Yontiv Chag HaAmunah, which is the fundamental foundation of our lives, is Pesach. And Pesach had to be Ba'aviv, had to be the spring. Why is that? So the Netziv, Rav Avtali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Netziv explains so beautifully that spring is the season of rejuvenation. Spring is the season of renewal. Spring is the time when the trees that all year, all winter long, and even starting from the fall, we're dead, we're bare, it was cold, and you hardly see the ground or anything growing. And suddenly it starts to blossom, the world starts to become green, and the world starts to grow. Spring is the zman of hizchatshus. Spring is the time of freshness, of new. And that's the yisoid that each and every one of us needs in our lives. That's the foundation of what it is to be a Yid. And when things are going well, and Baruch Hashem, I'm learning well, and I'm growing well, and I have simchas going on in my life, I have chasanas, I have parnasas good, everything's great, Baruch Hashem, it's easy. But it's when I have a difficult day, when I'm for some reason not feeling it, when something that's a nisayon, a challenge, a trial, a tribulation comes my way. So how do I deal? I remember that I'm a Yid. Now for a Yid, I became a Yid in Chag Aviv. And the Aviv reminds me that I can always have a personal rejuvenation. I could always have a personal Chachas. Every day is a new world. And I have to dig down deeper and find that. Because I have it within myself. It's part of my biological, chemical makeup. From this Yontav of Pesach, which is what the Aviv, what the spring represents. And I have to believe in that and live with that. That's perhaps the emphasis of the spring through all these psukim and through the Ramban. And that's the month we just are entering into tonight. It doesn't mean, often it's called, it's not even calling it Nisan. Chodesh Ha'aviv. Chodesh Ha'aviv. Because that's the lesson. I want to share a story. I don't know. I did share the story once already. I don't know if any of you, but it was Erev Shabbos is a quick time. So I don't know if any of you had the opportunity yet to listen to the men's share from Thursday night. If you did, it's Chazara. But a story you could Chazar. It's incredible. I believe. I still can't stop thinking about it. And I'm still involved with it. Last Shabbos Kodesh, I had the beautiful schus to be in Cleveland. I'm not saying it's necessarily a schus to be in Cleveland. The schus is to be in Yerushalayim. But a schus because it was for a simcha. Now, nothing wrong with Cleveland. I didn't mean that either. The same way there's no schus to live in the five towns. There's no schus to be in Cleveland. I mean, my mother's from Cleveland. So I have a part of Cleveland in me. So Baruch Hashem, I'm thankful for Cleveland. But my best friend in the world, like a brother to me, Shlomo Kaufman, Shlomo and Eliza, they made a bar mitzvah. So I went for the bar mitzvah. What a miss. I've told Yosef. It was a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh. Really very special. So on the way there, I left on Erev Shabbos at an 11:40 flight last Friday. And I get to the airport. And these days, the airport's like it's an interesting place. Because obviously you have the world of COVID that's still existing on some level, whatever level that is, nobody's really sure. But you never know. You don't know, also, you go into the airport, you don't know who's really mocked. Everyone has to wear a mask, obviously, in the airport. And you're not sure who really cares, who doesn't care, and how close you could be to people, how not close you could be to people. Okay. This is the public in general. You're going through the airport, okay. Get onto the flight. And it's interesting, on the flight, you think, Mamish, we have all these, crazy protocol in life right now, but you get onto a flight. The last time I flew, I don't recall when it was exactly, at that point, they had the seats open in between. Here, I get into my flight, they pack you in like sardines, but if you, God forbid, you take your mask for a second, but you're sitting here, Mamish, on top of each other, 24, the entire time. Not a seat open, it's one of these tiny little flights, two seats and then one seat. But again, it's a hard thing, because Mamish, everyone's getting on, and everyone's nervous what people are thinking, what people are not thinking, especially as a Yid, because we see what's going on, unfortunately, and we've all seen videos, you make sure your mask is And then I sit down, so I finally get to my seat, and then there's always that natural, awkward situation, right? We've all flown, I'm sure, by ourselves, and you sit down, and you're put next to this stranger that you've never met before, you may never see again, and told to sit on top of each other for the next hour and a half. And you never know, should you make conversation, should you not make conversation? So obviously, if it's a Yid, you're going to talk and play Jewish geography with the first chesnit and find how you have connections, because we're all mekusher to each other. But here, otherwise, you make conversation, you're not, you want the person to think you're nice, but at the same time, you'd rather just sit and learn the whole time, or relax, you're not looking to talk to this person you might never see again. And here it's even like an extra, which makes it maybe even a little bit easier, because you're both in masks, so it's like, ilu, you're not even there, you know, like, because, which is of the biggest problem with masks, because it destroys relationships, so you can't really have a relationship, so nobody really cares as much. So I sit down, and I see this woman, she's probably, say in her young 30s, sitting next to me. We're going to spend the next hour and a half, like, literally as one. And so my general, like, way I deal with these, obviously if it's a yid I'm talking, well, she didn't seem Jewish to me. And I say to myself, I'm going to be reactive, not proactive. Like, I want to just, I love flights. Like, it's the biggest vacation. My vacations in life are my flights. Usually where I'm going are places to be busy and whatever it might be. Like, to be on a flight and have no phone for just even that hour and a half and to sit and learn and maybe close my eyes for 10 minutes and just, like, have time to myself is, like, the biggest brach in the world. And not feel like I have to do anything else but sit and learn and have my... It's awesome. I look forward to... I'd love to fly somewhere tomorrow. Just to have... Just to fly and come back. Just to be on the flight. It's, like, awesome. But anyway, so I sit down. And my general mahalich is to be reactive. If they're going to talk to me, I'm going to be very nice and sweet. But if not... It's up to you. You might not want to talk to me at all also. Like I'll give you your time. You don't have to hear me talk. So I sit down, and I'm sitting and learning. Some of the shir tonight actually came from that flight. That's the truth. Safe from Baruch Shor, on Alecha Chaliva, a small little white on Pesach, on Nagada. And she's sitting next to me. Maybe 10 minutes in, I see she takes out like a, you know, Chves Nesh, the very non-kosher sandwich. It's like weird for a yid to sit next to, like, but it's all good. I'm not, can handle it, you know. So she's got her chveis nesh, I don't know, ham and cheese and whatever it was. Fine. But halfway through the flight, I'm sitting and learning. I see she pulls out like this big notebook, and she starts writing Hebrew. Mom, she starts writing Hebrew and translating, and I'm like, it's very strange. So I'm about to, like, say something to her. Again, I'm cheshbening, but, like, I didn't want her to think, like, I'm lemaisa, I'm, like, checking out what she's doing and prying into her life. But, like I told you, they put you so close, you can't not. It's not like I have a choice in the matter, you know? Basically, if I look at my table, I see her table as well. It's not even, like... But anyway, I think that she must be taking some course. Maybe she's studying Arab-Israeli politics or something in graduate school, Chveis Nisht, I don't know. But so I decide to forget it. I'm not going to... If she sees I'm learning. I mean, even she doesn't know what learning is, perhaps. But she sees I got Hebrew out the whole flight also. I'm sure you can't miss it. If she wants to say something to me, she'll say it to me. If not, it's all good. We finished the whole flight. I don't say a word to her. I go to Shabbos. It's Shabbos, beautiful Shabbos, like I said, gorgeous. Sunday morning, I'm going around. Like I said, I have family in Cleveland. I went to meet with an uncle, a cousin. I'm running. I'm not so good with times sometimes. So, like, I'm running late, especially when I'm by myself. I end up getting, it's a 2:07 flight. I get to the airport like 1:25. That's not so good, you know? And I get into the airport. And I see, I guess with COVID, things are a little more intense like this. And the security line is like out the door. Hundreds of people. There's zero chance I'm making this flight. And there's a total to New York, one flight a day from Cleveland. To LaGuardia on JFK. This is the only flight. If I don't make this flight, I have to wait till the next day. If I could get on even that flight. Like, one flight a day. So I say, I have to get on this flight. It's not even... So I go find someone, but, you know, it's Cleveland, so they're nice over there. You know, so if you ask a favor, they want to do it for you. So I go to find someone who works there and explain the predicament, and they come with me, no problem. I go, Chveis Nesh cut through the entire line, go with the crew, and I'm good to go. Felt a little bad, you know, but it's all good. But I'm hustling and getting, because it's running very late, I'm finally by the gate, they're already boarding, and I just get onto the line, Baruch Hashem, I get onto the flight. But it was like, that last half hour was a little bit intense. I'm just excited to be on this flight and sit down. And to sit and learn and relax. And I sit down. Going, I had 9B. Coming home, I see I have 16B. I sit down in my seat. And I look to my left. Who am I sitting next to? the same exact woman. Same woman. You can't make this up. Mamish, the same woman. And for, I was like 99% sure. Again, she's wearing a mask. I didn't really look at her body. Like, but I'm pretty sure she, the flight there, she was holding her coat for some reason. I'm not sure why. And she's holding the coat again, the same coat. I'm like, this has to be the same woman. So now, enough. Okay, the, going there, I didn't say a word. Right away, I said, were we sitting next to each other coming? And she looks at me. She's like, yeah, we were. This is a little bit strange. And, you know, and she says to me immediately, she said, I saw you reading all the Hebrew. I don't know if you noticed, I was also writing Hebrew. I'm like, yeah. And I didn't want to say anything. I didn't know. So I say to her, so why were you writing Hebrew? What's the deal? And she said, her name's Bridget. And she says, I want you to know, I'm actually studying to be a Gioris. Studying to be a convert. I said, really? Why did you decide you want to be a convert? So she starts by telling me, she says, actually, I'm engaged. My fiancé is an Israeli from Tel Aviv. But immediately, before I said a word, not that I was cheshbening how to play this, and deal, you know, right? It's not. She immediately says to me, I said, I want you to know, I grew up as a Christian, and I always had found many, many issues and questions. I thought it was, she knew it was always false and fake. And she loved, she told me her whole life, she loved Judaism. She loved Israel. She would go. She wrote a thesis on Zionism. And like, she always wanted to be part of our nation. And this just gave her the final chizik, basically. I'm like, wow, that's incredible. That's actually, you know, the most, that's a sincere, authentic way to become a convert. Really, I said, it's a, you know, for marriage, you have to really want it. It has to be something. She's like, she knows it, and she's excited. So then I'm thinking to myself, as I asked her about her fiance a little bit, and it was very clear, he was a secular Israeli from Tel Aviv, and I said, so my fear is, okay, it's beautiful, and she sounded very wonderful, but like, probability is she's doing some, my thought was some chesed, you know, reform, conservative, I don't know, where. This is one of the biggest problems with conversion for marriage is that most often if you're converting for marriage, so obviously the one who's Jewish generally is not from, obviously, because why would they be dating a gut? And in Geirus, there's no such thing as being a not from Jew. If you're going to convert, it's be makabel Torah mitzvahs. So why suddenly the person you're dating is not like that? You're going to become like, it doesn't generally pan out well. So she tells me, no, he's a secular Jew, but he deeply wants to keep Shabbos and keep Torah and keep Kashrus, and they're growing together, and she's going through an Orthodox Geirus. And she's studying, she told me the rabbi, and she's studying with the rabbi on Zoom. She asked me, at some point in the middle, she asked me, are you a rabbi? I said, actually, yes. And she's asking me tons of incredible questions, the entire plane ride. And she wants to know about davening, and she says, I want to pray, and I want to daven with proper kavanah, but it's so hard because I don't know what the words mean, and how am I going to learn what all the words mean? I said, you're not different than most Orthodox Jews, don't worry. And she's, you know, obviously she's talking about, it's very hard, you can imagine, someone who wasn't in our system growing up to understand the difference between hashkafa and halacha, and know the difference of what it is to really be Orthodox, and do you have to do X, Y, and Z, and, you know, do you have to wear a black hat, are you really more religious that way? Really, different questions that takes years and years to really navigate and understand. And I helped her understand that a little bit. In the middle, she turns to me, did your wife wear a sheitel? Wants to know about that. It was incredible. And she's going to live in Eretz Yisrael. I said, really? They live in New York. Her fiance has a startup company. He has an office in Israel, an office here. But she says, of course we're going to live in Eretz Yisrael. Like, where else is a Jew supposed to live? Like, what's the question? That's where I want to raise my kids. That's where we're supposed to be. And I'm sitting there listening to her, and her questions, and her excitement, and her passion. Someone who comes, not like us, who are just trying to grow, coming from nothing. She was at the funeral of her grandfather, and asking about cremation. That's why she was in Cleveland. But the incredible amount of understanding that this woman had in the concept of his chadshus, the concept of renewal, of rejuvenation, of it doesn't matter what I've been until now. Like that, I could change it all. Because that's what it is to be a yid. She got it. With the utmost passion and excitement. It was incredible. Whatever I gave to her on that plane ride, she gave me mamsh exponentially greater. Exponentially greater. Such a schus. And so crazy. It was like the Rabbona Shalom told you, you know, I put you in this on this plane going to Cleveland next to this woman to be mashbi on her and to talk to her. And you idiot. You didn't talk to her all right. So I have to put you back next to her again. It was like so clear. It was unbelievable. Like, what are the chances? Same flight, same person. And she took my number and we've been in touch. She's been sending her some things to listen to and to learn. And hopefully we'll go to her chasana. Her chasana is going to be in August in New York. Meretz Hashem. Who knows, Bez Hashem. Want to know, I was helping her figure out and talk about what Hebrew name to choose. She wasn't sure, my lad will still go by my English name. So beautiful, so sincere. But such an incredible, incredible understanding of that, of Aviv, of the spring, of the ability to grow, of the ability to be different, of the ability that I have within me. I'm not stuck in whom I am, where I am ever. And if something's going on in my life that's not going so well, it can change. That the power of Aviv, and that's the Yontav of Pesach. The Yidden, they left Mitzrayim. You think any of them thought at any moment they're going to leave Mitzrayim? They're there for all these years, for generations already. The Yidden were on the 49th level of Tumah. They're taken out from that as well. And 49 days later are receiving a Torah. What are the chances? So we can't? Shaul Mordechai Reb Ashkin's in jail for 8 years. And he gets his letter the day before. You're staying. You're staying. The appeal was not granted. The next day, your pardon's good to go. That's what it is to be a Yid. That's what Nisan is Miloshen Neis, miracles. We live miracles. We live miracles. We live with the Rabbona Shalom. We have to believe in that. That was why as well, seemingly, today, at the beginning, Mamish Erev, Rosh Chodesh, as we go into this Chodesh HaAviv, the Chodesh of Spring, we read Parshas HaChodesh. We read about the very first mitzvah given to Bnei Yisrael. And we've spoken about this before, some of us. The very first mitzvah. The mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Why was that the very first mitzvah given to Bnei Yisrael? Any mitzvah could have been the first mitzvah. Rosh Chodesh, really? That's so powerful. That's so fundamental. That's like if you were involved with some level of kiruv, which I hope you will be in your life and are in your life. And you find somebody that's just learning and just growing. You're thinking, I don't know, I should have asked. I didn't ask Bridget if she knows about Rosh Chodesh yet. She asked me about Tefillah, she asked me about Shabbos, she asked me about many different halachos, about tznius, about different things that are beautiful. She didn't ask me about Rosh Chodesh. It didn't come up in our conversation. I'm not sure she learned about Rosh Chodesh yet. I'm not sure what she would learn about Rosh Chodesh. I don't even know if they cover that before her geiris. Like, what's there to learn? Shkoyach, it's Rosh Chodesh. You're a woman, okay, you're supposed to celebrate a little bit more. I don't know how many of us do. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, that was part of the schar for Chet Egel, but it's Rosh Chodesh, okay, Shkoyach. So we're going to say Hallel tomorrow. Very nice. Musaf, don't forget. That's about it. Yal v'yavo. It's going to be a regular Sunday. Rosh Chodesh is the very first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael is given by Hashem. Like, that's where we're going to start. That's going to be the foundation. That's where we're going to build off Rosh Chodesh. Like, why Rosh Chodesh? There are many different beautiful answers, but maybe tonight we understand because it's the same Yisoyed of Chodesh Aviv. Rosh Chodesh represents his chachos, a new beginning. The moon, it disappeared, it looks darkness. It's Laila, it's night. Night is darkness. And then it reappears. Rejuvenation, renewal. That's the lesson of Rosh Chodesh, the lesson of our lives, that we have that within us always, and we have to believe in that. The power of Rosh Chodesh, the power of his chachos. the power of Aviv, the power of spring. And we have to believe it in our lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it part of nature to help us. There's daytime, there's nighttime, there are seasons, there are Yom Tov, there's constant change. You know what that is there for? To help us. You know, Hashem could have made it that it's always daytime. That we don't have to sleep. Right? You have to think about it. Hashem could have created this world that it's always daytime and you don't need to sleep. We're not used to that because then we're used to it. But he could have. What would have been then? We wouldn't have a sense of ischachus. We just continue. This helps us have ischachus. Helps us wake up in the morning. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new day. It could be different today. It doesn't matter what yesterday was. My Rebbe, the God Adar of Nasan Svi Finkel Zeches Tadish Kadosh Baracha, he would help build it into his time as well sometimes. When he felt he needed a sense of his chadshus, so he changed what time he'd wake up. He wakes up every day at 7, he'd wake up at 6:45. Change it up a little bit to build the sense of his chadshus. Change your schedule a little bit. A new limud, a new tefillah, a new something to build his chadshus, to understand every day could be new. And that's how we wake up every single morning. Every single morning we wake up in the first words out of our mouth. Thank you for returning my neshama. But you know what we're really saying? Thank you, Hashem. That last night, and we know Chazal tells us, was 1/60th of death. I'm a new person. The moment we wake up is recognition that I'm a whole new person today. Shechazarta nishmasi. We say the words, let's believe it. So it's a new world. It's a new existence. It's a new life. It's a rebirth. Every day, not just a Rosh Chodesh, every day. The power of Aviv, the power of the spring. The biggest lessons of our life. Happens to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought me a matana. If you take the gematria of his chadshus is 1,123. His chadshus. Exactly the gematria. Zeh HaTayra Tamima. This is the complete Torah. Why is this the complete Torah? Because it's the essence of everything. It's the foundation of everything. And it's the foundation of being here. That's why it's Aviv. And that's why it's the first mitzvah. It's chadshus. If I have ischachus, I'm going to be good to go. I'm going to be great because I get it. I know I could always change. I could always grow. I'm never down and out. Life is beautiful and wonderful. Thank you, Hashem. Every morning. This is a Torah that we're learning tonight that we could think about every single morning. But it's chus. And never get stale. And never get old. And our Yiddishkeit will never get stale. Our Yiddishkeit will be with passion, with tzchachos. The same Yiddishkeit that Bridget has right now. As she's learning, as she's growing, it's all new, it's exciting. And sometimes to us it's not as new and as exciting. Because we are rote and mechanical and we've been doing it for so many years. Tzchachos. Change it up a little bit. Believe we can have it. In our lives and what's going on in our lives. But in our Yiddishkeit as well, in our Avodah Hashem as well, in our davening as well. So focus on a different tefillah of Shemoneh Esrei, a different bracha, different... Never get stale. Aviv, it's spring. We're growing. You know, the man, we know, when we left Mitzrayim, we got the man. And the man, we know, only lasted for one day. We couldn't leave it overnight. If we left it overnight, it would be stale. Be spoiled and stale. But there was one sinsenes of man, there was one jar of man that was kept in the Aron, and that man never went stale. However, it was overnight. Why didn't it go stale? I thought the man, the teva of the man, the nature of the man, that overnight it goes stale. How was that man? How did it not go stale? Zok the tzofnas panech. That when it's in the Aron, it's lefnei Hashem. It's with Hashem. And when you're with Hashem, you never go stale. You want to know how to constantly have tzchadshus in our life, tzchadshus in our avoda, tzchadshus. When you know Hashem is always by our side, because the same way we know I'm a chadif for tuba b'chom tovim, Hashem is recreating the world every moment, every day, every second. So my life's going to be constantly recreated in the way I serve Hashem. If I know I'm really in front of Hashem, it's with tzchadshus every moment. It's a different Shemon Esrei. It's a different feel. It's a different way of dressing. It's different. If I'm with Hashem, with that love of Amunah, that's the tzchadshus of our life. And that's why we've entered it to Aviv. Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave us, as we entered into the Chodesh, beautiful weather the last few days, to maybe help us understand that and realize we're entering into the spring. It has to be not just a physical spring, it's a mental spring, it's a spiritual spring. It's a time that we're going to be mechadish ourselves. You know, Rav Cheskel Abramsky, this is a story, I've told this story before. Rav Cheskel Abramsky, Zayin Pesad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was sent to Siberia. Siberia was back-breaking labor, a time when Yidden were tortured. And he woke up one morning, and he was laying in his bed, and he had a moment of sadness. Because he realized he has no tefillin to put on, he has no tzitzis to wear. He has no yarmulke. He has no svarim to learn. He has no siddur. And it's Shabbos. He has no wine for Kiddush. He has no challah for Amotzi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, took away. He has no mitzvahs. What is he going to be thankful for? What is he going to talk to Hashem about? He has nothing. But he started and he just said, I'm going to say Modani. And he says, Modani l'vanecha, melechai v'chayom, shechazar tevi nishmasi, v'chem lo rabba amunasecha. When he said those words, rabba amunasecha, he realized, you know what he still has? He still has his amuna. And he was thankful that he could have his amuna always. And he could have the understanding that he's l'fnei Hashem always. And that can't be taken away from him, no matter where he is, no matter what's going on. So as I was preparing this shir, I had a new understanding of that Rabbi Munasech of Rav Cheskel Abramsky. I don't think he was just thankful that he found his one mitzvah that he still has that can't be taken away. I think he realized even more than that, that he found the most important mitzvah. He found the foundation of it all. He found what it's all about. All the other mitzvahs are all about one. About being one with Hashem. Echad. The Echad that Bnei Yisachar heard that night walking through the streets, Lel Seder. And he realized he still has the Echad. He still has the Eibishter by his side. And if he still has the Eibishter, he's not going to get stale even in Siberia. In his understanding that he could be a tzchadshus. Maybe he's going to be saved today. In his understanding, in his hope, and in the way that he serves Hashem. In both. In each and every one of us as well. Ach Hashem, we have this chus, a new month, a new world, a new existence. Chodesh HaAviv. We're preparing for the Heil Giyantav of Pesach, HaBalein HaTayva, 2 weeks from tonight. How do we prepare? How do we prepare for Lel Seder? Just every morning we say Modani. Think to ourselves, it's Chachas, it's Aviv. Hashem is by my side. Hashem's with me. And I know there could be a tzchadshus in my life and what's going on in my life. And I have to give a tzchadshus into my avodas Hashem. And with that mentality, each and every one of us will walk into Lel Seder and feel the echad of Lel Seder. This yantav of geula, the yantav of amuna. And hopefully we'll be zoicha not just to this geula and this amuna, the geula shleima, with Mashiach Sekeinu and Heir of Yameinu. I wish you have a good vach, a beautiful week. May Hashem will continue soon.